So let me tell y'all a little story about how I got involved in the creation code stuff, the Bible code stuff, because I rejected the Bible code and stuff, and I rejected Gnostics and all that stuff. I've rejected it all in the past, and I still reject the Bible code stuff and the Gnostics, but there is a creation code. And if there's a creation code, there is a type of Bible code, but it's not putting numbers in and doing a mathematical. It's just in the words. Let me tell you my story. Let me cut this fan off because this is important. So I spent most of my life just searching for the truth, you know. Because I was raised around heathen. You know, we were all heathen at one time, right? We've all been heathen. I was raised around the drunks and the drug heads and the heroin addicts and the, you name it. I was raised around it. And I knew something wasn't right, you know. And so I went off to college thinking getting a college degree would fix everything, but it still didn't fix it. The human heart is corrupt. It doesn't matter if you're educated, uneducated, rich or poor, the human heart is corrupt. So once I got saved, then I started really studying the top theologians for 20 years. But even after that, I noticed there was a problem with the saved people. The saved people didn't have the power. The saved people were doing the same thing as the world, and I couldn't figure it out. You know, I'm not sure when God revealed the walking in the Spirit, but God revealed walking in the Spirit. And even though He revealed it, you know, what does that mean? How do you practice it? You know, how do you walk in the Spirit? You know. And I noticed, you know, it's not under works, because if you go put yourself back under law or works, you're going to be worse. Anytime you put yourself under law, you're going to end up doing worse stuff. You know, I'm going to keep the Ten Commandments no matter what. Then you fail, because God wants you to fail to show you that you need Him. The harder you try, the worse you're gonna get. To be honest with you, that's the deal. That's the gist of the matter. Because you're trying in your own power, right? Somebody says, "I'm not gonna drink anymore." Well, as soon as they say that, they end up getting drunk the same night or the next night. "I'm not gonna curse anymore." As soon as you say that, you get to where you're cursing. You know, see, the energy of the flesh is weak. If you really want to stop doing this or that or the other, you have to renew your mind. You have to renew your spirit, your heart. But anyway, back to the code. I was to the point, and I knew something wasn't right. So it said in Revelation, count up the number of the beast. So I said, okay, let me count the number of the beast. So everywhere for 5 years, I counted up the number of the beast. And I saw 666 on everything. The barcodes, symbols, the symbology, 66 and Coca-Cola and Pepsi and all the symbols and all the icons and everything had 666 in it. And so for 5 years, I mean, I got depressed. I said, I know, I prayed, I said, "Lord, I know the devil's not going to win, but it looks like he's winning." I said, and he forced me, before he answered me, he forced me to read the book of Leviticus. Because the book of Leviticus, I mean, that's a hard book to read. But he forced me. And I was like, he forced me to read Leviticus. I don't know how to explain it. A friend of mine called and said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Reading Leviticus." He said, "That's a hard book. How are you doing that?" I said, "I don't know. God made me do it." He didn't tell me. He just made me do it. And so what you find out in Exodus, Leviticus, and all that, the blood. It's all about the blood. Without the shedding of blood, there's no remission of sins. And so I was seeing 666 everywhere. Then I was seeing the blood necessary that the blood covering, you know, Jesus, the death, burial, resurrection, the shed blood of Jesus, you know. And I was seeing the blood typified all over the Bible, you know. And I said, Lord, I still don't, what is going on? What's going on? He said, it's right in front of you. And I thought, what does that mean? 6 months later, I still couldn't get it. I mean, I was racking my, this is all I was focused on for 6 months. What does he mean right in front of you? For 6 months, every day, what does he mean it's right in front of you? What does he mean, you know, in my mind? And so I finally said, Lord, I still don't see it. What is going on? He said, it is right in front of you. And I thought, he's serious. He said the same. He's not changing his, I mean, this was an audible voice. This is not schizophrenia. This is not hearing voices. This was God Almighty. When God speaks, let me tell you how it feels when God speaks if you never heard his voice. It's inside and it's everywhere at the same time. And nobody else can hear it. Only you can hear it. And when he speaks, it's like a stern father, but at the same time, it's love, but it's serious minded. You know, it's kind of like a CEO of a company. A CEO comes in, he's nice, he's checking the place out, he's seeing what everybody's doing, but he's to the point and he's not playing games. You know, and he's watching everything he says and every movement, everything he says. But anyway, I still didn't get it. So a month or two later, I can't remember how long it was, I was still thinking about it. And I was shipping some books. It was like 3 a.m. I was boxing up some books. And I was tired. I mean, I was tired. So I jumped on the bed to go to sleep. I walked in my room, jumped on the bed, looked back. And there's Shekinah glory. First, I didn't know. It took me a long time to figure out what it was. It was a Shekinah glory. I looked back, and as I gazed upon it, it faded away, just like the Star Trek, where they would teleport, and it would just fade away, just like Star Trek, you know, the teleportation device on Star Trek. But it was a spiral. It was 5 spirals, and you could see through them. It didn't cast a shadow. And it shocked me. At first, I thought, what is this? Is this an alien? Is this, what is this? Is this a portal out of here? You know, I had a lot of thoughts come to my mind. I'm not even going to talk about them all, but I had a lot of thoughts come to my mind. Somebody I was working for, she said it was the devil. I said, no, it wasn't the devil. I thought, is this an angel or what? But over time, I realized what it was. But the very next day, so I went on to sleep. I mean, at first, it's like, what is that? And then the fear went away really fast because it was like, whatever this is going to take me out. I know I'm saved. I know I'm absent from the body, present with the Lord. But whatever it was, I knew it was not human. It was not of this world, put it that way. It was just not of this world. It was impossible. And so the next morning I woke up and I couldn't walk. I was being downloaded information. And one of the first things I saw was the color red was the blood, represented the blood, you know. And this was a long process. I'd go to the store and I'd look up and there was red at the top. I actually looked up at the top of the store. My name was at the top. But then I realized later that my name goes back to the cross. So the blood of his cross was at the top store. And every time you go in a store, it was the same pattern. And I noticed the birds and the horns beeping. It all followed a pattern and a sequence. It was like, at first you think, am I going crazy? Because you started to see patterns, you know, in everything. and has these as these patterns kept going, and I kept seeing more and more, and the turn signals, and the, and it was like I was aware of every sound, every movement, every noise, every color. It's like I was in the Matrix, you know. And it's like, what is going on? I mean, I could predict when a horn was going to beep, you know. I could go to a store and predict what color would be on the ceiling and what color would be on the ground. I don't know if at that time I was decoding all the colors. It took me a while before I saw the green and the red as Cain and Abel. The black and the white is the cross. It took me a while to decode it. But on my phone, I could look at my telephone, and the whole history of mankind was encoded in the way the phone was designed. I actually threw that phone away yesterday. I was cleaning up, and I said, you know, this, I don't need to keep this. I've already decoded this thing. But anyway, so I started seeing the code even in your thumb, in your fingernail, the cuticle. The code was revealing itself everywhere. And it's like I had no idea where I was going. I mean, I had no idea where I was going. So as I was uploading videos, I got the attention of the witches, right? And the Gnostics. The witches and the Gnostics. And they started trying to feed me code. What they were, their end game was to try to get me to believe that Yahweh and Satan are the same, and they were trying to get me to deny the Bible and go to the Book of Enoch and stuff like that. And they were trying to show me their code, which made no sense. I would steal pieces of it, but their code just wasn't complete, you know? It wasn't complete. And it took me about 5 or 6 years, from February of 2012, it took me about 5 years to really get a handle on what was going on. After 6 or 7 years, it was pretty much done. And then you always learn, you know, there's always something new to learn. But their code wasn't complete, and I knew it. And their code was pretty much demonic. And the biggest thing I learned about their code, on each side, it was a downward, like devil is D-E-V-I-L. I-L goes back to ill, which is downward. And D-E goes bound off from, which is downward. And the letter V is a cut. So all their code was both sides. So each word is kind of got a middle part, a left side and a right side. Both their left side and their right side pointed down. But the real code is the left side points down, goes through the cross, the V or the C or the G, and the right side points up and has the letter E, usually, I-D-E, because Jesus rose from the dead. So the left side goes down through the cross and then up to the right side is up. All the Gnostics and the witches and the warlocks, all their code was just down, down, down on the left and the right. Now, some, you know, there, it depends on the word and the where the letters are, you know. The code doesn't just exactly fit a pattern in every word. It depends on the letters and the meaning of the word. But anyway, so the pattern in their code, it took me a while to see it, but their code was always negative on both sides of the word. And usually in the middle of a word is the letter V or G or C or T or the letter N, because it took me a while to figure out what N was. Why was the letter N in the middle at times? And the letter N is the snake and the fish. So it's on the left side of the letter N is a hook down. On the right-hand side of the letter N is a hook upward. And so the devil's trying to hook you, Captain Hook, pull you down, the Jezebel system. That's why the prostitute wears high heels, to hook you down. But Jesus is fishing you up. He's trying to catch some fish, some souls, to hook you up, you know,
to yank you up out of Babylon. And so the letter N has a left side and a right side. And so Captain Hook wants to destroy you, but Captain Jesus wants to save you, you know. But Jesus had to take on our sin. You might say, well, how come there's a negative and a positive? Because Jesus had to take on your sin, which is the negative. And that's the horror movies, the horror TV shows and all that stuff. So the story of the cross is being preached everywhere at all times. But it took me every day, meditating every day. I did steal some code from the dark side, but I didn't ever go to the dark side. But like if they would send me an email or something, I would meditate on it and think about it and line it up with the scripture. So the whole time, I would line everything up with the scripture. Like red goes back to Abel, green is Cain, right? Mammon or money. And I would take a holographic view. I'd say, okay, where's the color green used? Green is gangrene in your body. Green is money, which is mammon. Green is the fruit of the field, Cain. Greenhorn is brand new. They don't really know anything. Where is the color green used? And it always pointed back to the old reptilian flesh mind. And so then you take the letter, even the Go Green crowd is Mother Earth worship, right? And then you take the color red. How did I decode red? Was Abel. Because everywhere you go, red represented the blood, represented sacrifice, represented a covering, a blood covering. And so Abel brought, and I knew that the code had to line up with scripture because, look, you know that there's a creation code because everything came from Jesus. There's a code in reality because Jesus spoke it all into existence. And he is the word, and everything has to point back to what he did at the cross. And so that means everything in front of you has a deeper meaning, which is just another way to say everything is encoded. So when you say everything's encoded, you're just saying that everything in front of you points to Jesus. And in Romans 1:20, even the heavens declare the glory of God. So if the heavens declare the glory of God, so everything down here in the Bible says the whole earth will be filled with the glory of God. So the chair you sit in, the clothes you, the cloth that you put on, the cloth is the clergy, the clothing you put on, the food you eat, everything that you do has a deeper meaning. And it points back to an object lesson. And so you're in a 3D experience. And yeah, it's real. You can touch it. But at the same time, it's not real. It's just a training program to push out until Christ is formed in you, which is the mind of Christ. So you have to push out the baby through the repeat cycle. You know, somebody at work said something about somebody's going to return here. I said, why is it called return? They really thought about it. I said, if they're coming back on this day, why is it called return? Re means again, turn means to turn. Why is return a turn? Because every day is the same. They're just turning the cycle. It's just a return. You're turning. Everything's a turn. Everything's a cut and everything's a turn. And everything is a union and everything is a flow. So the reason you're cut and turned is to be unioned so that when you get unioned with the spirit mind, the mind of Christ, the Holy Spirit, then you can flow. But until then, you can't flow. That's why. And I thought, why are all the saved people, especially the legalistic ones, I know now, but I didn't know then. Why are they so unhappy? You know, why are they trying to make heaven on earth? You know, why are they contradicting themselves? The Bible says, love your neighbors yourself, but they hate everybody. And it's like, what is going on? Why are they attacking people? Why are they accusing people? In other words, why are they so dogmatically expecting the unsaved to do right? The unsaved can't do right. And even the saved can't do right. They can't even do right all the time. Why are they so ridiculous. And it goes back to legalism is the Jezebel spirit. And so legalism is your worst enemy if you're saved, and you can escape it, but you have to learn what Romans 5, Romans 8, the book of Galatians, not Romans 5, Galatians 5 and Romans 8, and you need to learn pretty much what the spirit walk means. But anyway, long story short, I didn't even believe in the code. And most of the code that you hear online, there's one guy who teaches the Assisian code. He's so far off, it ain't even funny. They're going to calculate why the earth and the moon are, you know, they come up with a number where the earth and the sun are related distance-wise. Yeah, everything's related, but what's the deeper meaning behind it? So anyway, they only hit the surface code, but the root code is the blood of his cross. Everything goes back to the cross. Everything's a sine wave or sin wave. You got S-I-N-E. E is spirit. S-I-N is down. E is up. So the sin wave or the sine wave is up and down, but it can be plotted like a graph of a wave, or it can be plotted like time. And so what's happening is every moment of every day is the story of the cross, the flesh versus the spirit, Cain versus Abel, the spirit walk versus the flesh walk. And so I realized over time the flesh mind is just an AI flesh mind program, an AI program, just like a robot. So you're programmed from a child by your culture, by your bloodline, to think like your mom or your dad, your sister, your brother, your culture, your TV shows, your music, whatever. That's the AI program. It's not even real. The AI flesh mind is not even real. The spirit mind is real. Love, joy, peace, goodness, meekness, temperance, faith, the truth, hope, faith, love. And so the flesh mind is all about me, me, me. You know, Agent Smith on The Matrix. And see, Neo represents the saved person that doesn't know who they are yet. So Neo, the anagram of Neo, is the one. Neo is the one. Why? He has to be transformed. He has to believe. He has to be changed. He has to wake up from his dream. And so when Neo is changed to the one, he sees past the matrix. He sees past. So I was begging God to show me what's going on. It just didn't make sense. Reality is here, down here is not making sense. The news, the trouble, the drama. Oh, now there's a pandemic. Now there's a war. Now there's this. And if I hadn't seen this 10 years ago, I would really be saying, what is going on? I would be in the same. And all this keeps happening because man is trying to save himself. Man is trying to fix this world without God. And you're going to just keep having the drama, and it just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. And the earth is connected to the human because you came from the earth. So the earth, there's going to be earthquakes and hurricanes. And as much, the Bible says the creation groans and waits for the sons of God to appear. Why? Because it's connected. The earth is responding to the heart of man. And so the heart of man is affecting the natural plane. And that's why you see man going crazy and stupid, contrary to the word. Every time I get in a good flow, another fan kicks on. You see man acting crazy and contrary to the word. That the earth is responding. The Bible says the earth, the creation groans, waiting for the sons of God to appear. Because when you get your heart right, it reflects out around you. But since everybody's heart is corrupt and upside down and twisted, then the earth is having its pains. There's a birthing process within you, which is the red versus the blue, face-to-face Turing machine. There's a birthing process within you, but there's also a birthing process in the earth. Because when we see Jesus, we'll be like him. And what does that mean? We get a new heaven and new earth. Because if we're like Jesus, we need a new place to dwell. because this place is not our home as a spirit creature, but it is our home as a clay creature. But this is a temporary dwelling for us because a spirit being can't live here. So the earth is going to be renovated, and you're going to have a new heaven and new earth, and there's not going to be any ocean. The Bible says, why? Because the sine wave is gone, the waves. There's the moon and the stars are going to fall. There's no need for the sun. Why? Because Jesus is the light. It'll be like a light across the whole earth from the throne, you know. And so when you change, your environment change. Excuse me. When you change, your environment has to change. And so certain people around you have to go. Seriously, as you grow, as you change, certain people will either change and grow with you, or they will have to hit the road, Jack. Because you're not going to play their games. You're not going to play their narcissistic games. You're not going to play their Jezebel games. You're not going to play their manipulation games. You're going to walk in the truth. No matter if they kill you, you're going to stand on the truth, you know. And they can't come up against that. They don't really have anything they want to die for. You're willing to die for the truth. You're willing to die for what's right. They have nothing that they want to die for. They just want to live in pleasure down here. Eat and drink and be merry. Marry and give in marriage. They don't care about anything but having fun, making a ruckus, running from house to house. All they care about is partying and living it up. That's all they care about. And that's just their root. They can't help it, you know. And then they speak evil of you since you don't run with them to the same excess of riot, you know. So to make a long story short, I didn't expect to see this, but when God revealed it to me, I had to pass it on, because if you can see the code, everything makes sense. It might make sense to you without seeing the code, but I needed the code. I needed the code. And that's why God revealed it to me, because evidently I needed it, because I couldn't see it. It just wasn't making sense. It took me a year. I couldn't understand time. You know, time wasn't making sense. You know, it just wasn't making sense. And so I wanted to decode time. So I watched every time travel movie I could watch. And I think that was in 2017 or 2018. I can't remember. 2017, I watched every movie I could watch and decoded it. And I might have watched the time travel movies back then too. But I was decoding. You might say, well, how can you decode reality through the movies? Because man cannot write a script outside of God's script. So man, anything that man does is a subscript. Any script that mankind can write is a subscript of the scripture. And just like the Eternals, I decoded the Eternals movie. And yeah, there are Eternals right here, right now, being birthed. The Eternals movie is telling the truth. There are eternal beings, namely the born again, who are being birthed. And so it might not be interpreted the way they mean for it to be, but there is a slither of truth in all movies. And that's how they're able to see the future, because really everything that's ever happened already happened at the cross, and it happened in Genesis 3, Genesis 4, the book of Genesis. It's already happened. There's nothing new. There's no new thing. You might say, well, what's technology? The word technology means wordcraft. Still points back to the word. Everything that anybody invents, everything you invent, still going to point back to the cross. This is hard to wrap your mind around, I know. But the best example is back the Sumerian tablets, they would take a stylus and push down into the clay to write. Now you take a stylus and push down on your cell phone, your tablet cell phone. It's still a tablet. You still have a stylus. You're still writing a message. It's still the same truth. It's just a different form of a clay tablet. It's still glass. It still came from the ground. The clay that the Sumerians used to write a message, Now you're using plastic and piece of glass. So, and think about it. The electronics inside, it all comes from the ground. The clay came from the ground, your cell phone. Everything came from the ground, so there's nothing new. Just because it looks like new technology doesn't mean it's really new. It's just a different form. And so technology means craft, word, or word craft. So everything that man creates is a craft from the word. Jesus is the word, so all creation is a derivative from the Logos. Long story short. Like I say, I spent a whole lot of time, every time travel movie I could find. I like watching time travel movies because they're all love stories, you know. Some man goes back in time to save the woman, you know. And so that's the love story of time travels. And pretty much, they're really good movies, you know. They all have a different spin, but it's really, in the nutshell, you're just down here in Jesus. Jesus is the time traveler, but you have the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, the Holy Spirit. So you're down here as a representative to win some souls, which is the body of Christ, right? So you're just a copy. If you have the Holy Spirit, you're a small copy. You're a miniature copy of Jesus because he has the wholeness of the Spirit, but when you see him, you'll be like him. He has the wholeness of the Spirit. You have the earnest of the Spirit. So you're a smaller copy of Jesus, and you're just a time traveler down here trying to win souls. But every day is the same. And when you realize that every day is the same, and you know it's the same because Jesus is the same today, yesterday, and forever. To him, every day is the same. And if you're hid in Christ and God, every day is the same. And so new stuff might start appearing. But if you really pay attention to your inner man, it's stuff that you thought about yesterday that appears in the hologram. It's just a story. This is a 3D book. Just like you read a 2D book, you're in a 3D book. And what you, just like your dreams, dream is D, the door, D-R-E-A-M, dream. D is the door, R-E is again, A-M is what happened during the day. So when you're dreaming, it's a door to rehash what happened during the day. So your dreams will be little pieces of what happened during the day. So as you have thoughts, these are Tor networks, story, S-T-O-R-Y, and Y sounds like E. So you're integrating, a story is integrating these unseen thoughts together by the Spirit. So my point is, you're in a story, and everything that you're thinking is reflecting back because the Bible says you reap what you sow. And so you're reflecting back your heart, your mind, your thoughts, your actions, your words. You reflect your dreams, your wishes, your wants, your desires. Everything's reflecting back based on your heart. And that's why the Bible says you reap what you sow. And that's why life and death is in the power of the tongue. That's why the unsaved are nothing but flesh-minded creatures. And so that flesh mind reaps what? Flesh. That's why they're always in trauma. That's why they're always in trouble. That's why they always have drama. Because the flesh mind only can reap the flesh consequences. And so when you get the spirit mind, and maybe I got a bigger dose than some people. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe other people. But when I saw the Shekinah glory, it changed me. It completely changed me. Now I see past the 3D. When you see something that's a spiritual being or spiritual light or something in the spirit realm, and you see past 3D, it has to change you, right? And so now the spirit mind is more real than the flesh mind. The flesh mind's not even real. Revenge and bitterness and unforgiveness and guilt and drama and shame and living in the past. The past don't even exist. The future don't exist. Everything's the now. Living in the past, regretting something, fearful about this. See, the spirit of fear is not love. It's the opposite of love. And so when you are if you catch yourself going into fear, you say, oh, that's the flesh mind. What's a verse to counteract it? If you catch yourself into bitterness, you say, that's the flesh. That's not even me. That's a program. The flesh mind is a program. And so all the things you used to be, you're not anymore. And so your bitterness, your unforgiveness, your hatred, your anger, your fighting, your he said, she said, your gossip, your backbiting, none of that's even real. It don't even matter. It's not even who you are. And so the flesh mind is the Cain, and the spirit mind is the Abel. Cain versus Abel. So inside your body is a daily battle of flesh versus spirit. Are you going to walk in the spirit, the reality of what's what, real, the real real, or are you going to walk in the flesh, the lies? And so that's the creation code. It's encoded in the words and the language and the pages of the Bible. It's encoded everywhere. It's encoded in your body. It's encoded in your forearm. It's encoded in your thumb, your fingers, your whole body, you know. Because your body's God told Moses to build a temple and make it according to the pattern. And so it pointed to your body. Your body's the real temple. And so if your body's the real temple, it has to be according to a pattern. And the temple in the wilderness was following a pattern. And the word pattern just goes back to the pa. And this is why the witches hate the patriarchy. They hate men, actually. They think men cause war. Actually, Eve is the one that dropped us down into sin. She's the one that caused war. But Adam went down with a ship, his hip. Ship is hip. Adam went down with a ship because of love, you know. So the witches are missing out. They can, their pride won't let them see it. You know, very few witches can get saved. I don't see many getting saved. And so, the devil, they received the wrong spirit. They received the spirit of the devil. You know, so everything's anti. They're like anti-flash. They are the Wile E. Coyote versus Roadrunner. And so the witches see past the natural too. But they see it in an anti. And so this is why they can mess with you, because they actually can grab some of your thoughts through in the spirit realm. And this is why they can irritate you so bad. A lot of it, they don't really do. It's not that they're grabbing your thoughts, but the devil's controlling them, and he can grab the thoughts. So these people are demon-possessed, and he can take them captive at will. And it's not just the witches, any lost person. And so something will reflect back that's going to penetrate and cut you to the core. The reason is God allows the devil to cut out your flesh mind so that the Holy Spirit can cut your spirit mind. The devil is a tool to cut out the flesh mind. And that's why the devil's mad. And that's why the witches are mad. They hate God because they're in their role. They're doing their role in the scroll. And they will attack you. If you move towards the spirit walk, you will be attacked by witches. And they might be in your home, your bloodline, your family. It could be your mom, your dad, your sister, your brother. They're in churches. They infiltrate the churches for a reason. They're all over the place. And so my point is, I mean, you know they are, because the horoscopes and the palm reading and all that stuff. They're everywhere. And God allows them to be here to cut out your flesh mind, to purify you, you know. Because they can tie into, you'll say, well, how did they know what I was thinking? Or how did they, anyway, it's the same as the Jezebel spirit. Jezebel, the narcissist, you know, a lot of people say, well, how does the narcissist seem to know what I'm thinking? Because it's a demon. And the same games, and the way that the demon knows, it's because the game is being played every day. It's repeating. They've watched it for thousands of years, and there's nothing new. So the demon is going to say what cuts you. They want you to commit suicide. They want you to drink and worry and fear and all that stuff. So these demon-possessed witches and narcissists, they're going to say something to try to make you live in fear, or try to provoke you, or to get you angry, or whatever they're trying to do. And so as you see them, just cut them out of your life. God will keep bringing them back if you're not in his word. If you're saved and you got the spirit mind, just get in the word. And the word will cut you. But if you try to escape without his power, you're just going downhill. So every object that you look at, everything that you hear, I had another fan kick on. Every object that you look at, everything that you hear, the phonics, all the light, the dark, the left, the right, the up and the down, the movies, the TV shows, the music, is encoded with the same truth. And what is that? The flesh mind versus the spirit mind. The energy of the flesh versus God's power. It's encoded in the gasoline. It's encoded in the engines, the motors. And I know it's hard to see it, but it's real. I've shown it too many times, too many examples. And so that's my story. Now, where I'm at now is I know the flesh mind is a lie. It's fake reality. It's an AI program. I know that the spirit mind is the truth. I also know that your body is the temple. So everything that you do should be healthy. Everything that's not healthy is an AI program. Your body's a temple. So everything you do, how you eat, when you sleep, how you talk, how you think, what you look at, everything should be a healthy process, which you might want to call it holiness. Whole, healthy. Whole means healthy. Whole means holy, complete. So everything that you do, you don't want to hate yourself. You don't want to destroy yourself, whether it's eating sugar, whether it's whatever it is. People going to bars, why would you do that? It's not healthy. It's not healthy. So where I'm at now is every decision, and not only is every decision should be a healthy decision, and all the people around you that you're close to should be healthy, but everything should be an investment and a hedge. And in no, every decision should be an investment and a hedge. Investment in your health, in your spirit, your soul, your body. Not an investment in evil or downward, but an investment in upward. And so that's exponential growth. Whatever it is, educating yourself. Everything should be an investment in building up, not tearing down. You should tear down the flesh mind, but the best way to do it is to renew the spirit mind. And that's it in a nutshell.